Where do we start this? An answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time, right?
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls. Sure. I'm tweeting that puppy. Okay. Hi, everybody. I'm Jeffrey Gittimer, author of the world's best-selling sales book, The Little Red Book of Selling.
And I'm Jen Glackow, founder and CEO of Sales in a New York Minute.
And we're here today on Sell or Die to make sure that you get the information that you need in order to make more sales, more money, keep your job, fire your boss, and take over the company.
That's right. This show is all about you and how we can help you. And all you need to do is find us on iTunes or your favorite podcast app.
Tell both your friends.
And then give us a 5-star review.
Okay. And today's show is all about how you can improve your life. I want to make sure that you get that. Because when we start to talk about what happens in the sales world, we mean it.
Oh, yeah. So let's get into it.
It's time to sell or die. We're with the great Karen Samuelson, and she has been a writer, a thinker, and a spreader of spirit for the past... You've been doing this all week, haven't you, Karen?
Exactly.
So when did you actually start?
Well, if I say that, then people will know that I'm old, and I like to pretend like I'm younger than I am.
So all right.
The jig will be up. But okay, all right, here it goes. I'm going to out myself. I've been doing this for maybe 30 years.
Oh, Karen.
Well, maybe.
But just say,
true.
I started when I was 9, so I'm 39.
I started when I was 9, yeah.
That's perfect.
So, maybe I'm exaggerating a little just to, you know, I think it's more like 25 years.
Gotcha.
There you go.
Okay, that sounds more plausible.
You sound much younger now.
Yeah. Exactly.
Thank you.
So now you're only 34. but here, this is my challenge to you. And let's say that I've been writing for 35 years as well. 25, actually.
It's, okay, then I'm 24.
There you go.
It is.
I won't let anybody think that I'm older than you.
It's a journey, correct?
It's a zigzagging journey.
Correct.
And in fact, it's so much of a journey. Quite actually, my first book was not a self-help book. I didn't start doing a self-help book. I zigzagged into self-help books.
Where'd you zig?
What was your first book?
It was a novel. A funny love story that was read and loved by Jon Stewart, the comedian, and was optioned by Miramax to be a movie starring Marissa Tomei, and I wrote the screenplay, but it wasn't greenlit.
Oh, wow. Okay, so how did you get into happy, writing about happy, thinking about happy? How did you zigzag there?
Well, I've always been psychological, and I've always loved humor. And when I was a kid, I used to read Mad Magazine and Psychology Today magazine.
So did I.
And I
wait. So I subscribed to both of them.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me Whoa. Too.
I know. This is amazing.
That's funny.
Yeah,
Whoa.
I subscribed to several other magazines. I had some other humor magazines, but Psychology Today always got me as it was better than the psychology course that I took in college because it tended to be more real.
Yeah, I loved it. I mean, I 10 years ago, I became a columnist for Psychology Today.
Oh, wow.
And it felt like such a great thrill because I grew up reading it.
When I went to Temple University. I could have dropped out of any school, but I chose to drop out of Temple. And when I was subscribing to Psychology Today. I was actually going to major in business and psychology. But I found that Psychology Today was an oxymoron at Temple. It was actually Psychology Yesterday. So I dropped out of the course.
What makes you happy?
But obviously the journey to happiness, you don't get instant happy. You don't just like add water, do you?
You can. I believe you can shift how you feel. Because in fact, I could tell you how somebody's feeling by what their mood they're in is what they focus on. You know, it's like I could make myself burst into tears if I just refocused my thoughts differently. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I guess that is actually how actresses or actors do that. They just focus on something, right? And that's how they could get into that moment or whatever. They
or the change. Character, they, right.
Yeah, yeah. But you shift how you pivot. Or I call it, actually, I'm a big believer that you can't just stop your thoughts. You have to do a stop and swap. Because your brain needs something else to hold on to. So you can't just go, you know, say like, stop thinking about, like, let's say it's your ex. Stop thinking about your ex. You have to fill it in. Your brain is like, okay, what else you got, you know? So you have to do a stop swap. You have to put something else in there. It's like training a dog, for example. I can't say stop chewing my sneaker. I have to go, here's a nice bone. Because otherwise the dog will keep going back to the sneaker. Okay, I want to chew something. So you have to give your brain something else to chew on.
You know, it's interesting. You just said you have to flip your brain. And I said you have to, my mind said you have to shift your blame.
Yeah. Ah.
And
yes, I like yeah.
You know what I mean? I'd rather blame somebody who's innocuous, like the government, than blame my spouse.
Take responsibility.
Yeah. Or you shift it from blame to responsibility, sure.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. I love that. I mean, I'm a big believer you got to own your problems so you can disown your problems.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a good one.
Very good. This is a.
These are punchy. I like them.
Karen, you should write a book.
I've been doing this for 24 years.
Right, exactly.
You know?
I'm happy, I'm happy, I'm happy, I'm happy, I'm happy, I'm happy. And I punch the man who says I'm not. I'm happy, I'm happy, I'm happy, I'm happy, I'm happy, I'm happy. And I punch the man who says I'm not. Happy punch, happy punch, happy punch, happy punch.
Karen, I am curious. Were you always happy? Did you grow up happy?
Did you change?
Is it something you have to work at, or is it just
from pissed off to happy?
Yeah.
But I will tell you the story that my mother tells. And by the way, you know I'm from Philadelphia. Did you go to Temple because you're from Philadelphia? Do we ever talk about that? I forgot.
No, I'm from Philly.
Yeah, yeah, I'm a Philly from Philly.
I thought most people in Philly are pissed off.
We are pissed off, but we don't care that other people like it's a way of life.
Yeah. So my mom tells a story of when I first learned to walk that I would take it, like I didn't try for like the longest time. She said my brother started to try earlier and he fell down and then didn't try again for like a month. And then, you know, she tells like the difference between my brother and me, but I love my brother, so I shouldn't really include that part in the story. And next time I tell the story, I won't include my brother in it. But when I learned to walk, I waited longer than him. And then one day out of nowhere, it was like as if I decided, according to my mother, today I shall learn to walk. And I took a couple of steps and I fell down and I giggled and I immediately picked myself up. I took a couple steps, fell down and laughed. And I took a couple of steps and I kept falling and laughing. And by the end of the day, according to my mother, I was walking.
Wow.
Oh, cool. And like, yeah, that's cool. How old? Do you remember how many months old you were? It was only 34 years ago.
Yeah, I don't remember. I have to ask her that. But I know she said my brother started earlier, but I like zipped like, okay, today's the day. Yeah. You know, which is sort of me. Like, you know, sometimes I procrastinate and then I'm like, okay, I'm writing the book today. For
salespeople. Okay, so I love your strategy of the stop and swap.
Yeah.
What other techniques or strategies can you give to our listeners who sometimes not me, but sometimes other people have a bad day all day. It's like nothing can go right for them. And it's this and then that and then this and then that. And how do you break that cycle?
Okay, well, I believe that sometimes when people find themselves really curmudgeonly, it's because they take something temporary and they turn it into something permanent.
Whoa.
They think something that's a temporary bad day means a bad life. A bad day does not equal a bad life. Or they start to hook it into an always or a never. Oh, this always happens to me.
If it wasn't for bad luck, I'd have no luck kind of thing.
Like the rain clouds over them.
Right, right, right. Or even, like I've been with my son who is almost 7, and if something bad happens to him in the morning, he'll say, oh, this is a terrible day. And that's like even permanent because it's just like something just happened now. It doesn't mean the whole day is bad. You know, so I tell him, you know, logically, that's just something temporary. It's not your whole day, you know. And so you have to remind yourself of that. And whenever people are really depressed, it's because they have a long-term always or a never. Like if you're depressed about a career thing or your love life, I'll never get a good job. I'll never get a sale to bring back into that, you know. And so what you have to do is I don't believe that affirmations are can be effective when you're really, really curmudgeonly because they just sound like hyperbole, like I am making lots of money. It just sounds like bullshit, you know.
Yeah, but you could say, you could have an affirmation that says I am pissed off.
Why would you want to affirm that, though?
Yeah. I'm just telling you.
But actually, to tell you the truth, I wouldn't even mind that because I actually believe that where you go to talk yourself out of a negative belief is you have to go to something that you could shake your head and go, yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true. So if you could go, I am pissed off, then you go, but I'm not always pissed off. You know, and you have to walk yourself up out of it. Like, and then remind yourself, I say, pour yourself a cocktail. Okay. So meaning remind yourself of a time where you really did slam dunk something.
That's you know, exactly like, right.
Happy and sweet, the picture I did meet. As I ventured across your door swell, the bird cowering.
Do you learn some of this from your kid?
I remembered something my son said, and then recently a girlfriend sent me an article that somebody wrote supporting what my son said, and it's the following, and it's a little controversial, but stay with me on this. One time I was mad at him. Just one time, he's 7 and it's only happened once. No. And I was like, blah, 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 blah. You know, like if I was like the Peanuts cartoon, blah, 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 blah. And he says, Mom, if you want me to do something, your best technique should be to come over and hug me. Because if you hug me, then I'll feel really good about you and then I'll want to do it. But if you say something to me in a mean voice, it will make me not want to do it even more.
Whoa.
Whoa, that's so simple yet Whoa. So deep at the same time.
It's a shame you can't do it in the office anymore because of harassment.
Right, but I'm thinking. And then I read an article about it, and it's now kind of, there's something called positive parenting that they, there are studies about how the brain works and that giving time out to kids can just, they use the time to sit there and figure out, you know, like, think about how much they're mad at their parents.
Or how to do it again without getting caught. That's what I've always thought.
Yeah, that's true. So, you know, there's a lot of positive parenting articles and books out there that support what my son told me. So I thought that was interesting. And
wow,
so now when he's mad or whatever, I say to him, don't make me come in there and hug you. I swear, come in there and hug you.
That's a classic. That is a classic. So you've written a dozen books, correct? Is that fair to say, or more?
More.
How many more?
Some of them are board books. Some of them are board books. Like
I understand.
I've written over 30 books.
Cool. Wow. That's legacy. Mm-hmm. You've insured yourself as the happy chick. Mm-hmm. And
that would be nice, yeah. For my son's sake. It's my son's legacy, yeah.
But I think that the graphics enhance the message, don't you think? Like when someone looks at your book, they look at it and they go, it's not just a thought, it's a compounded with a piece of art.
Well, I think visually, so when I see the picture, I remember the words because of the picture.
Yeah.
Is that a plain thing?
Well, there are studies like that, you know, when you flashcards, word picture. People remember things more when it's hooked into a visual, even like a verbal story that has a visual, like a metaphor, an analogy, you know, that has a visual association to it. You just remember it more. And Maya Angelou, she said that people don't remember what you say. They remember how you make them feel. And so if the book makes them feel happy, then that also helps, you know. Don't just like say be happy, but feel the happy, you know.
Yeah, they remember how you made them feel either positively or negatively.
Yes, that's true too. That's
so you leave an impression either way. That for a really nice person or that person's a jackass.
Karen, I was looking at your website and I noticed you talk about mindful eating and I don't know what you call it, but like the non-diet kind of diet. And we have a lot of listeners who are often on the road and traveling where fast food is an option or
they're just got a
they're
few
whining
extra pounds
and
on them.
Dining
yeah.
their clients all the time and wanting to lose weight.
Well, gosh, I have a lot of techniques. I call it the do it program. You know, you turn your diet into a do it and you just like really do it.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of the tools are about emotional eating because that's where sometimes people go wrong. And a lot of them are, I've come up with some like neuro-linguistic programming techniques, some quick ones for that, the NLP angle are, I now think of foods as forwards foods or backwards foods. Okay. So a food can either move me forward to my healthiest self or backwards. And you know what? You're allowed like the backwards food every once in a while.
Yeah.
But if you
are donuts forward or backward?
backward.
I just want to get a definition in here so I know where I stand.
Depends where you're going.
Exactly. Okay, so what's your next book?
I have two books coming out in 2018. One of them is a longevity book because I'm a late in life mom and I promised my son, I would live to 100, and he asked me to live to 200, but I bargained him down to 100 plus. And so I'm busy researching everything there is to do with longevity, and it's going to be called, it's going to say Life is Short on the cover, and then it's going to have an X on it, Life is Long, and then 50 tips to help you live a little bit closer to forever.
Thanks for joining us on Sell or Die. Subscribe and rate us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Sell or Die.
And follow us on Twitter. I'm at Gittimer. On Facebook, I'm / Jeffrey Gittimer.
I'm at Jen in the New York Minute.
You follow me, you follow Jen. We tweet it, we Facebook it. You click it, you join it.
Thanks to our amazing guests today. Our producer is Doug Branson, and our technical director is Chris Hill. Until next time, I'm Jen Gluckow.
And I'm Jeffrey Gittimer, reminding you to get out there and sell something, even if your ass falls off.